We're doing Iyov. We're up to what's called the 15th chapter. And we're up to Pasuk Lamed. Iyov's friend, Eliphaz HaTemani, has been telling Iyov that I want to share with you, Iyov, what I've witnessed myself and what wise men have told me. And that is that a wicked person spends his life with a certain internal fear. He knows that at some point it's all going to change. And when it does change, when things go bad, he has no hope that it should get better. He knows that he's lived a sinful life, and he doesn't feel he has the merits for things to get better. And he feels like now he's left to the forces of nature. He is going to be tossed like a ball from hand to hand. And this is all happening to him because of the way he treated his Creator. He was proud, and he relied on his own strength, on his armor, and he spent his life enjoying worldly things, becoming corpulent, taking over territories where no one else would live, but just so he could feel like he's amassed wealth. And ultimately, his wealth will not last. And when it comes time for God to shoot him down, God won't miss. God's going to hit him. Velo yitel haaretz minnam. And so to speak, when God shoots, God's going to hit him. It won't, the shot won't miss and hit the earth. And that's where we're up to. Pasuk Lamed. Lo yasur minichoshech yonakto tiyabesh shalhavet v'yasur beruach piv. Lo yasur, he will no longer leave minichoshech, from the darkness. Mini is like min. Lo yasur min hachoshech, he will not leave the darkness, that state that he's in. When it comes time for him to fall, he's going to fall and he won't get out of it. Yonakto, his branches, his soft branches, tiyabesh shall have it, the flame will dry them out, and then they'll be blown with the wind, v'yasur beruach piv, and they'll be blown simply like anything that's dry and that's been totally scorched. Those are things that a slight wind can push them off. So to this person, a person who's led a wicked life, he will not be able to leave darkness, and his light branches will be scorched, he will, and blown away. His strength, whatever he had, will be blown away. Possibly, again, Eliphaz is talking about the human forces, meaning when he'll be taken to task by the government, by the police, by the king, that's how Rashi learns, that this goes back to what we saw earlier, kimelech atid lakidor, that when he'll be taken to task by the melech, he'll feel like a bull, that he's in their hands, they could throw him this way or that way, just like a person who handles a bull, he tosses him from hand to hand. So that's how Rashi learns, that's why the allegory is ruach piv, the wind of his mouth, meaning they just decide, your verdict is this, your verdict is that. V'yasu beruach piv, he'll be moved, that's how Rashi learns, beruach piv, with the wind of the mouth of someone else. They just decide, you know, in one second they decide this way, and one second they decide that way. But the Mitzudah doesn't seem to go with it. The Mitzudah seems to go, this is just an allegory, that after it's totally scorched, then even a slight breeze that someone blows with their mouth can blow it away. Al ya'amen bashav nit'am kishav tiye temurato. Eliphaz says, al ya'amen, a person who goes in a false path, he shouldn't believe, or he wouldn't have believed, that if he goes down that path, then, you know, if you go in a path that's false, then you get paid back with false. Al ya'amin bashav nit'a, a person who is nit'a, who is in error, and he goes in a pathway that's false, al ya'amin, he doesn't believe. I'm noticing Danny pointed out that the setup of the sentence structure throughout Iyov, it's very often you have the verb, you begin with the verb and then you find out who the subject of the verb is. That's what I'm noticing more and more. He's right. The subject is the nit'a, the etnachta. Al yamin bashav nit'a. Nit'a is the one who is in error, like toy. The one who errs in going in a fool's path, al yamin, he didn't believe, kishav tiet murato, that for his false path, he'll be paid back with falsehood. Bilo yomo timale vechipato lo ra'anana. Bilo yomo, he hasn't fulfilled his day. He's still a youngster. He'll die young. Bilo yomo, before he reaches his day. Timale, it'll be as though he's filled his time, he's done due time. He'll find himself facing death. Vechipato, and his branches will not be like young branches. Lo ha'anana, they won't have the sap. They won't have the capacity to grow. And here, he's talking about his children, the continuation, the next generation. And I didn't see someone who says it about the previous pasuk, the pasuk lamed. That's what I thought he was talking about, but I didn't see any commentary that says that. The branches are usually a reference to the fruit a person gives, a person's children. So I thought Yonaktotish Teabesh Alhavet might mean, but I haven't yet found the commentary that says it, that his children will be scorched by his sins, meaning whatever flame is coming to burn him down will scorch the young saplings as well. Meaning, it's not like he's living a private life. What he does wrong, he'll sit in jail. Well, he sits in jail and his family has no food. His children go down to crime. I mean, it's cyclical. So that's what I thought might be pshat in the pasuk, but no one says it over here. I didn't see who says it over here. On this pasuk, they do say it. They say that the chipato lo ranana, chipato is his kfiyat anafav. When the branches hang out, so they take over a shape that's like a kippah. It's a, how would you call it? Like a dome, like a curve. So the kippah is really a curve. So that's why the branches are called kippah. Kippato, his branches, which take on a curve, the young branches that should have sap, that should be filled with sap, loha nana. They are not lush. They have dried out, and that's a reference to his children, who also he's going to see himself dying young and see that his children are left in a dire state. Yachmos kagefen bisro v'yashlech kazayit nitzato. Again, who is doing the action? We don't know in this pasuk, but we begin with the verb. So the verb is referring to a hidden subject. Who's doing the action? Someone, whoever has the capacity to do the action, will yachmos, will come and steal, destroy, kagefen bisro. He will easily remove the, just like when you want to peel a grape, it's easy to peel the grape, to peel the peel off the flesh. So too, whoever wants to will easily be able to take him down. So whoever wants to will take down his children, yachmos. Whoever wants to will be able to harm this wicked person's children, kagefen biso, just like it's easy to remove the flesh of a grape, to take off the peel and remain with the flesh, vayashlech, and he will throw his children out easily, kezayit, just like someone who easily throws off the nits of the zayit, someone who throws off the little branch that sticks out of the zayit. V'yashlech kazayit nitzato, and he will throw them down. This person's children will be thrown down, just like one who can easily throw down the nits, the little branch that comes out of the zayit. So again, yachmos, someone will be able to harm his children easily, kagefen biso, just like someone takes out the flesh of the grape from the peel, v'yashlech, and he will throw, whoever wants to will be able to throw down his kids, kazayit nitzato, just like an olive can easily be plucked from that little branch. Kiyadat chanef galmud. Ve'esh achala aholei shochad. Because in truth, it is fitting that a congregation of people who practice the kafansi will be barren. They won't have a next generation. Ki adat chanef, because a congregation that's busy with sycophancy, trying to get their ways by smearing this way, smearing that way, galmud, it's fit that they should be, galmud means really shaven clean. So here it's a reference to barren. Singular. Yeah? The eish and the fire of the anger of Hashem, achila aole shochad, consumes the tents of those who work with bribes, which is the correspondence to sycophancy. Sycophancy is sweet-talking people to get your way, which is what wicked people often do, and other people use bribes. It's all along the same lines, being unfair, but using shmir to get your way. So Eliphaz is saying it's fitting that adat chanef should be galmud, that the congregation who practices sycophancy will be singular, will be without a next generation. The esh and the fire should consume achela aole shochad, the tents of those who constantly bribe to get their way. Haro amal veyalod aven uvitnam tachin mirmam. Yeah.
I understand correctly. No connection to, let's say, if you need to bribe governmental body because the government is mean to Jews or something like that.
Right. No connection. Jews throughout history were in situations where they were being persecuted, and their only way out was through bribes. We saved a lot of Jews' lives in the Holocaust through bribes. Sure. That's not what we're talking about here, right? There you're dealing with evil, and the only way to get around evil is through bribes. What can you do? He's talking about situations where a person bribes a judge. He's talking about other things, where a person uses the bribe as an improper practice. Haro amal, someone who is impregnated with evil. Amal and shev and aven are two terms of ways of doing evil. So if a person becomes impregnated with evil, so it's only logical that yalod aven, that the pregnancy will bear fruits, which is also evil. So to speak, this is all a fruit of the way a person's led his life. It goes hand in hand. If this is what's being impregnated, well, this is what's going to be delivered. So haro amal, if the pregnancy is amal, is evil, then v'yalod aven, then the delivery, the child that's born from this kind of pregnancy is also sin. Uvitnam, and their heart, deep inside, tachin mirma, they're constantly preparing how to be deceitful, and that's why they're getting this payback. Okay, this brings us to the conclusion of Eliphaz's speech. Eliphaz says, evil people get it bad. Their future is bad. What's he saying? Eliphaz is saying, how could you say you've done nothing wrong? When you say you've done nothing wrong, so then you cause others to sin. Because basically you're saying, I've done nothing wrong, and it cannot be that this is happening to me because I've done bad. So Eliphaz, his first claim was, the fact that you're publicizing your claim is already going to cause people to sin. Because what you're saying is, God cannot be watching over this world. If God were watching over the world, then I don't deserve this type of life. I've led a good life, and I'm suffering. So if God's watching over the world, then there's no reason I should be suffering. So the only way I could say God created the world, and God runs the world, and God has the capacity to interfere in the world, and yet I'm suffering like this, must be that God isn't watching over me. Must be that there is no Ashgacha Pratit. Well, if there's no Ashgacha Pratit, Eliphaz says, then you're giving great capacity for other people to do wrong. So he's saying, firstly, the mere fact that you're publicizing your claims is a problem. That in and of itself is a sin, and I need not say more. And that which you say, you've led a good life, and how could it be that you're suffering like that? So he says to him, the good life you've already had it good. Think back. You're only focused on your suffering now, but you're forgetting how many years you had that were good. Were you perfect? No, you weren't perfect. And that's why you still have some suffering which you're undergoing. And his conclusion, he says, look, I'll tell you what I've seen, and I'll tell you what people before me have seen, is that the wicked, even though there are times when they have it good, that's only because they're approaching a time when it'll get even worse. But at any rate, Hashem is judging the world, and even if you see wicked people who seem to have it better than you, well, that's only because God's about to make it bad for them. Don't worry, they will fool. But God is judging what's happening here. You weren't perfect. And that's why technically you got a lot of good for all the good that you've led your life. And now the fact that you're suffering, well, you weren't perfect. That's what Elifa said in a nutshell. A, you shouldn't publicize your claims. That's causing others to sin. B, you were good. You got good. C, you weren't perfect. And if you weren't perfect, so that's why things aren't good for you now. You'll tell me other people don't have it as bad and you've led a better life than them. They're never going to get out of their problems. You will. You're still going to have it better. They, when they fall, everything's over. Now, the question is, what about the fact that Eov lost all his children? Meaning, part of his example was, the next generation gets destroyed. Well, Eov's next generation was also destroyed. Eov's children were all killed. We could also ask, this doesn't really answer the question. Eov says, I'm suffering so much, I don't deserve it for the life I've led. Are they arguing about the facts? Is Eliphaz claiming, no, you have sinned? Or is Eliphaz saying, well, what you consider as minuscule is bigger? Meaning the question is, the claims don't seem to face off. Eov says, I've led a great life. Eliphaz said, you've gotten great payback, but you weren't perfect. What does Eov answer to that, but you weren't perfect? Eov had said, I wasn't perfect in my youth. When wasn't I perfect? When I was a teenager. Is God going to take me to task for the fact that it took me time to evolve to this level of being good? How could I be held accountable for that? Ayub tera adam yivale. Takes time. Every person's born a wild animal, takes some time to learn how to be a human being. Where did Eliphaz answer that claim? So Eliphaz's claim right now when we read it sounds very strong, but the truth is we have to wonder, where's Eliphaz really answering Eov? Is there a disagreement about the type of life that Eov has led? Or is Eliphaz saying, I don't buy your claim that it took you so much time to figure out how to be such a good person? Where's the argument between them? I'm not sure. I'm just saying these are points we have to notice. It shouldn't just be, well, he said this paragraph and he said that paragraph. When we face them off against one another, how do we rectify this? What's he saying? There also seems to be a point which he's saying, and his predecessor said as well, don't worry, the bad people will have it bad. God is judging the world. Is it such a perfect world? Is Eliphaz seeing a world that we don't see? Eliphaz says, wicked people ultimately have it bad. Really? Every wicked person ultimately has it bad? We have on tradition it's not that way. But Eliphaz viewed it that it was. What was Eliphaz saying? Does he have to agree with that point? And I consistently have the feeling that that Eov's friends underestimate his suffering. We know from the introduction of the book that Eov had the most possible suffering that a human being could have on planet Earth. And I always get the feeling, reading his friends' claims, that they don't appreciate that. We have to appreciate that, because that's part of the weight of Eov's claims. Eov says, I don't deserve this. So he says, but you weren't perfect. Okay, he wasn't perfect, but no one else on planet Earth ever suffered like Eov suffered. That's the whole point of the book. And once we know that, we have to put into question, did they really answer his claims? And we know from the end that their answers don't carry enough weight, because God will have to enter the picture. Which leaves us with the question, what of what they said is correct and what of what they said is incorrect? But being that our goal here is really to learn pshat, we're just about at the halfway mark, I want to point out these points we should bear in mind as we read through. We're going to read through the prakim. Our goal here, this time is the first time, we're going through Eov to get pshat. This type of analysis we will be able to do, Be'ezrat Hashem, with greater depth once we have this one time of learning pshat, Bezatim will have to learn again and then start writing down and summarizing each one's claims and counterclaims and rectifying how did each one answer the other one. Right now, we're still focusing on pshat, so we can't do everything this time. Yeah?
But to be fair, how could as possibly be expected to understand suffering if they themselves have not gone through it? For example, if you see some person who is beaten to a pulp, and then, yes, there is a degree of you trying to empathy and sympathy, that must be bad, but you can't really internalize it unless you've gone through a similar experience.
I agree, but we have to remember this isn't a story. This is a work that was written by prophets. So then this work is supposed to give us a message. Is the message they understood Eov and their claims had validity? Or is the message they didn't understand it? Meaning, I agree with you. On a day-to-day basis, we cannot understand what someone else is going through when we did not go through it. Rav Saadia Gaon writes, that's one of the reasons that Hashem gives us hardships. So that when other people undergo them, we'll be able to empathize. Rav Saadia Gaon has a whole list of what we gain when we undergo hardships. One of the points is this point, that we're given greater capacity to help others afterwards. But the question is, how are we to understand what the prophet wrote? So, okay, we'll leave that hanging for now.